There's a very important position battle this spring that could mean huge things for the future.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening, or if you're in the live right now, we're about to fire it up, get this week started. Right, we're going to talk about a position battle that no one's talking about that I think has huge ramifications for the future. We're going to talk about Israel Abrams, his top five, and how this position battle could affect him. And then we're going to have some tournament talk, SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, as far as hoops goes. But let's just dive right in. I think that it's a foregone conclusion, and I noticed a couple of guys in the comments already were maybe confused, thought the thumbnail was a dead giveaway. We're talking about quarterback two and not quarterback one, because it's, like I said, a foregone conclusion. Byron Brown is going to be your starting guy. There's just, almost barring injury, almost no chance he doesn't take the first snap of the season and the vast majority thereafter. But I think the quarterback two battle between Tristan Tia and Lachlan Hewlett is going to be very, very important and have a huge impact on the future. And what do I mean by that? No, that's not hype. No, that's not just being, extra boog or trying to clickbait or anything like that. It's a very important battle, and I'll tell you why. So, number one, these guys are essentially the same player. They're both coming in the exact same amount of eligibility, okay? Both redshirt freshmen. Both very limited experience. Tristan Tia has a little bit more. He had a couple of starts towards the end of the season. Lachlan only got the start for that bowl game, I believe, against Old Dominion. He did throw a touchdown on a fake punt, though, against Boise in the very first game of the season. But regardless, very similar experience, very exact same eligibility. So those two guys are going to be battling it out for QB2. The odds or the likelihood of both of those guys finishing at Auburn is probably pretty slim. It's probably pretty slim that you see both of those guys just be okay being the backup of the other. If one wins, the other being the backup, it's hard to see in today's game that plays its way out the rest of their remaining careers, okay? So that's number one. So at best, you got both of these guys for 1 year. And more than likely, after this year, one of them's going to depart. Now, what Auburn decides to do at quarterback this year is not up for discussion. What Auburn decides to do for 2027 and beyond is what's up for discussion. So these guys aren't necessarily – they're battling for quarterback two. They are, okay? But not only are they battling for quarterback two, they're battling for QB1 2027. And not only are you battling against each other, you're battling against potential portal quarterbacks in 2027. Golish doesn't seem like the kind of guy to me that wants to have a – trying to think of the best word to go here. I want to say not a down year, but when you have a year that you're just going to try to do the best you can trying to get to the next year. And what do I mean by that? Let's say you bring in Israel Abrams or another top quarterback, and you know they're probably not going to be ready freshman year, but they're going to be ready for their sophomore year. So you're just trying to get by in a season to get to that QB1 in 2027 high school guy if you land one of those top dudes. So not only are these guys battling each other, but I think they're battling a potential portal quarterback in 2027. they have to not only prove that they can beat out the other, but I think they need to prove their value going into 2027. This is a battle that's not only going to go on in spring, but it's going to go on throughout the summer, and it's going to go on throughout, you know, throughout the fall as well, leading up into the portal opening in 2027. When we get to that 2027 year, there's so many decisions, or when you get to this offseason, it's not even the 2027 year. When you get to this offseason, there's going to be so many decisions to make as far as quarterback goes. What do we do? What happened on signing day? Do we get one of our top guys? Okay, how far out do we project he's ready to go? Is he a guy, most of those freshman guys will sit a year. Okay, is he going to be ready to go in 2027? All right, now what do we do with quarterback in 2026? We got a whole season in between now and then. Did we see what we needed to see out of Tristan Tia? Did we see what we needed to see out of Lachlan Hewlett? Or, hey, do we have to reset the quarterback room again? I mean, that there is a very real possibility that that could be on the table. Because, again, I just don't see Golish as this guy that's going to just take average, that's just going to take a get-by mindset. He's going to try to win right now every single year. Yes, you can plan out in the future, but we're in this weird quarterback world right now where we've had some transition and we've had some issues of, you know, retention. What's happened in the past doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen again in the future, but you got a couple of years where you got to dig yourself out of that hole. You weren't able to get you like Reese Brush, but you don't know what you're going to get there. You weren't able to go get one of the top quarterbacks in this last class because you only had 3 days to do it. But you've pointed a lot of resources at landing a top guy in this cycle. Now you just got to figure out what's the plan to get to him. That's crazy, isn't it? That's crazy to think about. When you get a high school quarterback, now you got to think about, all right, what's the plan where I can actually get to him on the field? That's why I think this quarterback battle is so important. I don't really know who I give the nod to. You got Lachlan Hewlett. Tristan probably has a higher ceiling. I think physically they're kind of the same. I think physically his arm may be a little bit more arm talent. But then you got Lachlan, who's got the familiarity with the system, who's a goalish guy, who's got the pedigree of, you know, the father who's a quarterback's coach. Like you got all of that kind of in your, you know, as ammunition on your side. I don't really know who comes out on top. And I don't really know that it necessarily matters one way or the other. Like, I don't know that you got a better chance with one guy winning the job over the other as far as how things look in the future. So what do you guys think? Do you think that the quarterback one for 2026, I guess, heck, and 2027, do you think the quarterback's on the roster right now? Or do you think that we're going to have to go into the portal again for a one-year fix? Hey, here's a curveball. We're going to talk about this in just a second. What if heaven forbid, there's an injury and one of these guys has to come in and they light it up? How does that play into quarterback recruiting moving forward? We're going to talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika, 334-581-6888. Guys, if you're like me, every time something's going wrong with your vehicle and you go to the shop, you feel like, at best, you're coming out $1,000 down. These guys proved me wrong. Honesty, trust, all of those things with their auto hospitality program blew me away, and this is the only place I'll go from now on when I have an issue with my car. They've got locations in Opelika and Alabaster. Make sure you show them some love. Tell them we sent you. That's Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika And also going to give a shout out to Roback.com. Use coupon code BARN20 to take 20% off your order. Polos, pullovers, hoodies, all of that. They got it, and they even have Auburn licensed apparel too. So save big, show them some love. It's Roback.com. We'll be back right after this. So let's talk 2027 quarterback, and we're obviously looking at 2026 recruit. I'm sorry, no, 2027 class recruit, Israel Abrams, who released his top five, and Auburn was obviously in it. I think it was Auburn, Miami, Florida State, Kentucky, and Purdue, which were interesting. And I'm wondering if those last two fall in the discussion of what I've been saying for the last several months that we're going to start seeing, particularly with quarterbacks. Okay, so the scenario right before the break, it'd be an awful one, okay? Byron Brown misses some games at any point in time, even if it's for an extended period or just for a few games, and you have to go to a backup quarterback. Let's say they go in and they light it up. And now it's like, man, we got something here. We definitely want to roll with him in 2027. And does that put the clamps on, or that put the, you know, put some obstacles in the way of being able to land a kid like Israel Abrams? Because there would only be a year separating them, because he's a redshirt freshman. When Israel Abrams were to come in, he'd be a sophomore, and Abrams would be a freshman. So there's only 1 year really separating these guys. And I think high school quarterbacks will sit 1 year, but it's really hard to get them to sit two. It's really, really hard to get them to be patient and sit two. But if you got a bird in the hand, you can't burn it if you feel like you got a guy that can compete. And that could show itself. If there's an injury or some sort of scenario where one of these guys has to go in. But when you're just, even if nobody gets injured, okay, there's two schools on that list that concern me. And they're not the two schools you would think. There's two schools on that list, and that's Kentucky and Purdue. And I know you're like, what the heck are you talking about? I mean, Miami just played for a national championship. Florida State, you know, obviously is Florida State. They have history there. Why would you be worried about Kentucky and Purdue? Their value these guys have is no greater than when they're on the field. These kids nowadays, they have to be worried about their – not have to. They're very worried about, or very concerned, or very cognizant of what their financial value is from an NIL perspective. Your NIL value is never higher than when you're on the field. You have when you're on the field, your value's through the roof, especially if you perform. So what I think you're going to see eventually, and again, those two schools got me a little concerned. What you're going to start seeing is, I think you'll start seeing some higher rated prospects look for immediate playing time. Israel Abrams could start at Purdue probably tomorrow, but for sure in 2027. Israel Abrams could probably start at Kentucky. Probably not, obviously not now, but maybe in 2027. So they may have a situation that Auburn can't offer. I don't think Auburn and Golish can really afford to go all in on a true freshman as your guy, as your starting guy from game one. I just don't see Golish being that type of guy unless there's a complete no-brainer avatar that is out there. Could Elijah Haven be that guy? I don't know. I don't really know about the classification he plays in. I don't think Israel Abrams is ready to be that guy day one at Auburn, but he may be ready to be that guy day one at Purdue. He may be up at the top as far as talent goes at a school at the level of like Purdue. So we're going to get into these really weird scenarios in the future, I believe we're guys. A guy like Israel Abrams is like, man, I'm going to go take the. I'm going to get a good paycheck, and I'm going to get on the field right off the bat. And then, if I have a good season my freshman year, then the money is going to be gigantic to go somewhere else my sophomore year. That's the smart business move, if we're being completely honest. Now, some kids that are they're not going to necessarily value that as much as their career trajectory and where can I go be the best, like where can I go have the best track to get to the NFL? And if he does that, obviously Auburn's got a really good chance, because Golish has had incredible success with every quarterback he's ever worked with recently, not 10 years ago, right now. So Israel kind of fits the mold of a lot of those guys, too. He really has a Hendon Hooker vibe to me, which would be, I think, all of us would take. That'd be fantastic. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how the quarterback two battle plays out and what kind of impact it has on managing the quarterback room moving forward. You know, is it just a, hey, we got these two guys here for this year and we're going to reset it, hopefully land Israel Abrams, get us a one-year stopgap, hand it off to him. That feels like the perfect world. And then hopefully you can win a bunch of games these next two seasons before you hand him the keys. Or will one of these quarterback two guys pop off and then you have to reset the whole strategy? We'll see. Quarterback roster management and roster management in general are just so intriguing now that you have the portal in NIL. Let's talk basketball for a very, very quick minute before we wrap up. Believe it or not, Auburn is still on bubble talk and probably would have been bursted completely had the whole bubble not lost Saturday. Literally everyone behind Auburn, at least according to Joe Lunardi, the greatest professional bracketologist that's ever lived, way more knowledgeable about basketball than Bruce Pearl, at least according to Joe Lunardi, everyone on bubble talk lost. So what do you do? What do you do? I guess they're still technically in the conversation, even with a loss to Alabama. They're still top 40 in net. They're still top 40 in KenPom. I think at some point in time, though, you can't look at those numbers and you have to look at trajectory. And just right now, the trajectory of this team is going in the complete wrong direction. You play Mississippi State on Wednesday. Like, what type of faith do you have that this team can go out there and get it done? What have they shown you over the last month that makes you feel like they can go out there and get it done? They got the pieces. If they actually want to put the effort in and get out there and handle business, I doubt. Josh Hubbard's going to hit 45 threes in Nashville. They could definitely win this game, but will they is the question. Do they want to? Do they even like playing together at this point in time? All those questions I don't know the answer to, and I lean towards no. But what's crazy is you still got a chance. You're still right there in the conversation, even after everything, 16-15 with an overall record, but you're getting so much love for the level of competition that you've played, and I think that's a testament to the scheduling, testament to the vision and kind of where Bruce brought this program. And I hope that they kind of continue to do that, because those things are clearly valued and it gives you a little bit more room for error, I guess. I mean, Auburn had a basketball team in 2008, 2009, Auburn men's basketball went 24-12 and got left out. Got left out of the tournament because they played teams like Missouri State, George Washington, Bethune-Cookman, Louisiana Monroe, Tuskegee, Southeastern Louisiana, Alabama State, Alabama A&M, all in their preseason. You win 24 games. They played a team called Texas Rio Grande Valley. That's a real school. I don't even know if that exists anymore. That's the teams they played on that schedule. They won 24 games, and they're out. They were NIT one seed. So I don't know how this team will handle the rest of the season. I would love to see some fire. I'd love to see some of that mid-season or early season basketball again, and maybe you could go on a little run, because that team could make some noise in the SEC tournament. And who knows, maybe sneak into a play-in game, or, you know, in a 10 or 11 seed in the tournament, and who knows from there. But there, again, there's just not much faith. There's just not much faith that you're going to see that. What's up, Trey? Good to see you, buddy. Thanks for joining on Facebook. Guys, that's going to be it for today. We're going to be talking position battles all week, because we're 1 week away from spring. So we're going to be looking at – we looked at backup quarterbacks today. We're going to look at position battles that are very important moving forward, and knock those out. So I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast live. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.